67, Douglas Hitchens.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend a denial of CU 1667 for Douglas Hitchens to operate an automotive sales lot based on a record made at the public hearing for the following reasons. I do not believe that the application is consistent with the character of the surrounding property. The purpose of this application is to allow a conditional use to operate an automotive sales lot on an otherwise residential property, and the majority of the area is used for either agriculture or residential uses. This use would be out of character with adjacent and surrounding properties. Although the applicant stated that the intended uses are limited and would occur while the adjacent property is also used as their residence, I believe that there are other locations that are currently zoned for business or commercial use that are available and better suited for the intended use. The application does not promote the health, safety, convenience, and general welfare of the neighborhood or community. Proposed use as an automotive sales lot is not consistent with the purposes of the AR1 district set forth in the county zoning code. That's my motion.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to recommend denial of conditional use 1667 Douglas Hitchens for the reasons stated. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the point in our meeting where it's time for our public hearings. For those of you who are not frequent visitors to planning and zoning, whoop, we got one more? Other business? Oh, my goodness.
Mr. Wheatley, there was an add-on, I think.
I've got the, yeah, what is it?
I'm sorry.
For the revised agenda. I beg your pardon. I'll give you that speech in a minute. Okay, our next item is other business. Our first item of other business is Cape Henlopen School District determination if a conditional use is necessary, and this is located on Road 268. Thank you, Mr. Corey.
Gentlemen, we've had some discussions with engineers on behalf of Cape Henlopen High School. The school district is in the process of trying to replace their existing high school building. It is their intent to build the building on the same site as the existing high school, just outside of Lewis. The existing high school was built in the mid-70s or early 70s. And at that time, I believe the regulations were that the school was considered a state facility and was considered exempt from zoning provisions. I don't think I know that. And they're requesting, our reason for being on the agenda this evening is to see if the commission feels it necessary that they should have to apply for conditional use to tear one school building down and replace with a new one. What their intent is to build the new facility on the same grounds as the existing site. Once it's built, they would demolish the existing facility. The majority of the parking the same. There would be some relocation of parking. All the athletic fields, et cetera, would remain the same. The building would be moved more to the east of the existing structure, and then the existing facility would be removed and a parking lot built in its place. Short summary.
And to add on to that, Mr. Lank and I spoke about it a little more. And my initial thought would be that it would fall under the section of zoning code talking about non-conforming uses. Well, that's not exactly the right fit because it was built at the time that zoning existed. It was just under a section of the code that's since been changed. It was exempt, it's no longer exempt. Since then, the county has reviewed and approved some site plan amendments for that site as part of the site plan process without requiring them to go basically and file for another conditional use or, you know, a public hearing on it. One of the things we also looked at is that even if the non-conforming use chapter did somehow apply, if, you know, God forbid the building was destroyed, they could rebuild it, you know, which is essentially what they're asking to do, replace it. One of the other things we looked at was, or I looked at, was Section 115-222, which talks about amendments to site plans, and in that it talks about site plans that are not subdivision-type site plans. I mean, that's a different ballgame when you talk about amending a subdivision site plan. But amendments to a site plan such as this may be approved by the commission at a regular meeting after written reports by the director and without a public hearing If it doesn't change a recorded RPC site plan, which we know doesn't apply in this case, does not conflict with the specific requirements of the chapter, and that would be setbacks, you know, the parking requirements, that type of thing. Does not change the general character and content of an approved development plan. Well, in this case, it's a school, and it's going to be a school. They're replacing one school building with another. You have to look at whether it has an appreciable effect on neighboring adjacent property. You know, again, the thing you would look at in that situation is the change in use. Is that occurring? And you have to make that determination. Whether it results in a substantial change of the major external access points, which I understand from the information in the file that ingress and egress, and really the bulk of the site plan staying the same except for where the building is. The football fields and play fields are pretty much staying the same. You look at whether it increases the approved number of dwellings or height of the buildings. I think there is a height issue, but they're going to have to go to the Board of Adjustment.
And it would have to go to the
that.
Board, and it's not actually floor space. It's in design. It's a dome on the one corner of the building that would be higher than the max.
And the last thing is whether or not it would decrease the minimum yards or open spaces or the minimum parking and loading spaces, which I think it's going to comply in every respect to those, has to. You know, they're not asking for variances. So those are the kind of criteria that you need to consider. And if you found that it's basically not a material change from what's there now, I think it's appropriate just to do it as a site plan review rather than require them to go through the whole conditional use application with the two public hearings.
Well, Mr. Robertson, I don't really see how the public is really going to be served by making that requirement, simply because it's already there. I'm not aware of any conditions, developments, or issues that would raise an objection in the first place. And I think it's just very compelling that it's already there.
Right. And the thing is, too, for the protection of the public, to the extent that's required, there is going to be site plan review.
Well,
I mean, it's still going to come back to the commission as a site plan.
It'll come back as a site plan, and I would assume it will go to all the agencies.
I believe so. I don't know if it's been there yet. Mr. Link, maybe elaborate on that.
The only agency that they wouldn't have to deal with is normal business would be the building code department, because it's a state project. It would be inspected by the state.
Right, but the DLDOT,
all the other agencies
sure
have to deal with,
will get involved. And
DLDOT,
soil,
fire marshal,
soil conservation, fire marshal. So all those protections are in place. I don't know that anybody's going to benefit by an administrative proceeding here.
Right,
frankly.
And it doesn't appear that it's required. So.
Okay. Well, if someone wants to make a motion, we'll
agree.
I think the motion would just be as simple as that it proceed as a site plan review and they don't need a conditional use.
Mr. Chairman, regarding a request of Cape Henlopen School District for a determination by the Planning and Zoning Commission for the necessity of a conditional use on Road 268, my motion is that the project be allowed to continue under normal site plan review.
And that it would not require a conditional use.
And that it would not require a conditional use.
Second. It's been moved and seconded that the Cape Henlopen School District project located on Road 268 be allowed to proceed as a standard site plan without having to apply for a conditional use. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for a time in our meeting where we have our public hearings. For those of you who are not frequent visitors to planning and zoning, and for those of you who are and maybe just need a little refresher, our esteemed counsel to my left and your right has a few words of wisdom to share with you regarding how we conduct our meetings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As was stated, this is the time and the place for the scheduled public hearings of the Planning and Zoning Commission. These proceedings will be conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission that were adopted in 1998. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. All persons present are invited to stay throughout the commission meeting to view the commission's deliberations and voting on the pending applications. In addition, these proceedings are broadcast on the internet at sussexcountydE.gov. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please don't do anything that distracts from these proceedings and follow the directions of the chairman. If you have a cell phone, pager, beep, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to switch it off or switch it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman. Then the director will review the application and any agency comments and correspondence that has been received. The applicant will then present its case to explain the application to the commission and may present any exhibits and testimony that supports the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses. Then the chairman will invite public comment. Supporters will go first, followed by opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that person speak first and identify themselves for the record. Whenever speaking to the commission, you must identify yourself by name and place of residence. Be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on public comment or to terminate testimony if it is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. The commission may also ask questions of both supporters and opponents, but no direct questioning or cross-examination of witnesses or applicants will be permitted. All questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission may direct the question to the appropriate person if the commission thinks it's necessary. There will be no rebuttal by the applicant unless permitted by the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir.